Thank you so much for being here. My name's Clayton, and I'm the lead pastor here at Central. Thank you for those of you who are watching online today. And honestly, I just want to tell y'all, I forgot today was the five-year anniversary. I just really thought it was just another spring break or spring break weekend. And so, well, I just want to say thank y'all to you for, you know, dealing with me, because I know I can be a lot. I got my mistakes and my faults, and it's been a fun ride as a church in the last 5 years. But I'll say this. It's been awesome to see what God has been doing through us and in us, and he gets all the glory for it. And I say this all the time, and I'll say it again. You know, I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody. And I think that's how we should approach life. That's how I would try to approach my life, that all the glory goes to God. And so I don't know if I can do this or I'm supposed to do this, but I'm going to just raise my coffee, and everybody else can raise their coffee to have it, to the next 5 years, okay? I don't know. That's probably bad to do that, but I'm doing it anyways. So, hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. It's about halfway through the New Testament. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning. As you're turning there, let me kind of backtrack a little bit. So over the last couple weeks, we've been looking through this new sermon series called A Pilgrim's Playlist, looking at the songs that we sing as a church that help us to worship God. And in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, we get to read, especially the book of Psalms, some of the songs that they use to worship God. So we have their words, but we don't necessarily have their chord sheets, okay? We don't have the notes. We don't know how the songs went. And I want to know. Like, I really want to know what it sounded like. We don't know what it sounded like, but we do know the kind of instruments they had. The Bible says they had harps. They had horns. They had drums and cymbals, okay? And they also had little wooden shakers, okay? So in essence, they had a band, okay? They had a band back then in the Old Testament. And that's how they worshiped the Lord. Well, we know the songs that they sung. We just don't know how it sounded. But if you go to today's music, not just Christian music, but any kind of music, if I was to hit play on my Spotify playlist, you'd probably be able to know the songs that I like, and you'll be able to recognize the different genres of the music that I listen to just by hearing a few notes from the songs. We know what the songs sound like, but you know what different genres of music, what they actually sing about? I didn't really know, so I asked AI this week. I said, hey, AI, how are the different genres or kinds of music, what are they actually singing about? And here's what it says. So I wrote it down for you. Here's what it says. Pop music is all about fun and love and escapism. Rock music is about rebellion and being countercultural. Hip hop is about struggle and success and identity. Country music is about heartbreak and love and living life. Heavy metal is about anger and power. Punk rock music is just weird. I didn't say that. I just added that. It didn't say that. But it did say at the very bottom, it actually had worship music as a type or genre of music in our culture. And it said this about it. It's all about faith, hope, and thanksgiving. About thanksgiving. Being thankful for something. And so today, we're actually going to dig in to one of the songs that we sing. In fact, you sang it at the very beginning of worship today. It's called I Thank God. And the reason we chose this song is because it captures what worship of God is all about. From what you listen to on the radio, from what happens in service, to the hymnals, to what's up on the screen. All of these songs really show the heart of worship. Because at the heart of worship is an attitude of gratitude. That's a great thing to remember for today, that worship music at its heart is just an attitude of gratitude. And gratitude is really important. In fact, scientists have looked at gratitude on the person and realize that gratitude in your life can be very healthy for you. It can be healthy for your mental health. It can reduce stress. It can reduce depression, anxiety. It can even improve your mood. Physically, having gratitude in your life can improve your sleep. It can even reduce the risk of disease, which is kind of crazy. Gratitude is helpful for your relationships. It strengthens connections. It reduces conflict and even opens up doors for new and healthy relationships. And I love this, what it said, that it can even help you spiritually. Having a heart of gratitude can change your perspective. And in fact, it also says this, that having gratitude in your life is actually the mark of spiritual maturity. Not knowing everything about the Bible, not coming to church and having perfect attendance. No, it's actually having gratitude in your heart shows the maturity that you have spiritually. And so with that being said, gratitude is really important. Let's go to the Bible and see what it says about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 16, 17, and 18. Here's what it says. Paul says, always be joyful and never stop praying. And be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And so it says, always be joyful and never stop praying. Those first two things in that passage are talking about time. Always be joyful, never stop praying. It's talking about time. But the third part of this passage talks about giving thanks. But it's not talking about time. It's talking about your circumstances. And over the last couple days, we have all experienced the same difficult circumstances when the wind came, okay? Awful. All the wind, all the dust. I came from West Texas. It was like that every week, guys. All right, that's just how life was back then. But I mean, it was crazy. I spent that day trying to save my side fence between us and our neighbor, trying to keep it up. But it was crazy. All the wind. Some of you guys drove through it. It was nuts. 60, 70 mile an hour winds and all that dust. It was awful. But you know, around the state, it was pretty tragic. It was difficult. 200 homes were destroyed by fire. And even I saw a news article yesterday that Governor Stitt, our governor of Oklahoma, his home actually burned down. His ranch home burned down. It's kind of crazy to think about. With all the resources that this guy has, he wasn't able to change his circumstance. In life, sometimes we can't as well. And sometimes we get bad news in our lives, like a home being destroyed. And that is your circumstance. But the Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances. And so this song actually kind of starts off by teaching us that every single one of us, we have some bad news, a bad circumstance for each one of us. Here's what it says in verse 1. It says, wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide, this weary soul, this bag of bones. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting. I'm a vagabond. What in the world is it talking about here? Sometimes we sing songs and sing words and songs, and we're going, what is a bag of bones? Okay, what in the world is a bag of bones? Well, it's actually talking about Ezekiel chapter 37 in the Old Testament. Ezekiel is a prophet of God. Ezekiel gets this vision from the Lord. In this vision, he shows up to this valley. This valley is just full of dry bones, human bones. And God begins to teach him and speak to him and say, you need to go tell the people that this is their state. The Israelite people, they had run from God, and God was saying, look, you are dead. You are a valley of dry bones. God's saying, this is who you are. Which teaches us something today, that the bad news, the bad circumstance that we find ourselves in is that we're bags of bones. The bad news is I am a bag of bones, and so are you. In fact, bag of bones is a picture of being lost. You're lost without God. You're just stumbling through life, just grasping for things in the darkness. Last week, I started watching this series on Apple TV called See. And I don't know if anybody's seen this. It's kind of a weird show, but it's this post-apocalyptic kind of show where there's been a disease hundreds of years in the future from now, where a disease has gone through all of humanity and everybody's blind. Everybody's born blind. And so all these little tribes of people are living primitive lives, and everybody's blind, trying to just feel their way through life and go into battle and trying to live. It's crazy to think about. No one can see in all of society. And that's how we find ourselves sometimes, the condition we're in. This is what the song is talking about, that you and I are just grasping in life. Look, we are struggling to try to make something of ourselves. We're unable to save ourselves because that's what dry bones can do. Dry bones can do nothing, okay? If you are a bag of bones, you're unable to save yourselves. In fact, Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 2. Here's what he says. He says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Because of your sins, you were once dead. This is a different picture of sin than a lot of us look at sin. A lot of us look at sin as just a mistake that a good person makes. You know? I'm a good person, but I make sins. But that's not what sin is. Sin is a chronic and terminal condition that separates you from God. It's killing you, guys. and it's killing me. Sin separates us from God. And the Bible says that the bad news is that you're dead, just like a bag of bones. But thank God, right? That's what this song is about. This song is about thanking God for what he has done, because your story isn't finished. My story isn't finished. And he has something else for us. He has a plan for us. And this is exactly what the pre-chorus of this song says. Look what it says. And just when I ran out of road. Anybody ever run out of road in life? You're just done. You tried everything. And nothing's working. Just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. And he told me that I was not alone. You know what that is? That's a salvation story. In fact, it actually kind of seems very similar to what Paul went through on his road to Damascus. In fact, it seems very similar to what a lot of people in the New Testament, their stories of salvation, of Jesus showing up in their lives. I think about the woman at the well. I think about some of the disciples like Matthew and Peter. I think about Zacchaeus. I think about Mary who followed Jesus in a situation that God pulled her out of. I think about the billions of people who have turned to Jesus, who were going one way. They ran out of road. They didn't know Jesus. And all of a sudden, he showed up in their life. That is, for many of us, that's our story. For some of us in this room, it can be your story even today. The bad news situation that we find ourselves in is that we are just a bag of bones, but there is good news. The good news is that there's a man who wants to meet with me. There's a man that wants to meet with you, and his name is Jesus. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, he says, I'm knocking at your door. And the question is, will you let me in? And I know in a room like this and people watching online, there's different kinds of people here. There's some runners in this room. I'm not talking about those of you who are fit and running, okay? I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking about those of you who have been running from God for years and for decades. You've been completely saying, God, I don't want what you have to offer, and so I'm going and doing things on my own. And God is just knocking at the door saying, look, will you let me in? Will you let me in? I know there's also the doubters in this room. You're like, hey, I'm here. I'm just not sure about all of this. And God is knocking, saying, let me in. There's some pretenders in this room. There's probably quite a few pretenders. At times, we're all pretenders where we're trying to live the Christian life, and we want everybody to see that we are something and we're doing the right things. But if we were just to be honest with ourselves, we're faking it. And I think there's also a group in here called the Royally Screw-It-Uppers. Okay, anybody Royally Screw-It-Upper? I made that up, okay? Anybody? Everybody, okay? We're all a Royally Screw. We've all screwed up. And for a lot of us, we look at our past and say, God can never use me because I am damaged goods. The things that I've done, the past that I led, the things that happened to me, the things that I chose to do, like God can never fully repair and completely fix those things. God can't do it. But look, here's the truth. It's a good day when you realize that no matter what your past is, and no matter what your present is, you have a future with Jesus. When you let him in, when he's knocking on the door and you say, come on in, he'll change you. You know what he can do for you? The chorus tells us what he can do for us. Look what it says. It says, he picked me up, he turned me around, and he placed my feet on solid ground. So I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart and he changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. There's not many times where the song is better than the sermon, but this is one of those times, okay? Like we could just be done. We could just be done right here and just pray. That is awesome. Here's my question. Is that your story? It's my story. When I was 10 years old, even though I went to church every week, I was dead in my sins. I was a bag of bones trying to do things on my own, trying to live the good Christian life, and I realized I can't earn it. I can't earn my salvation. So Jesus showed up in my life, and I recognized finally who I was and who he was, and I said, Jesus, I need you. And he picked me up, and he turned me around, and he put my feet on solid ground, and he changed my heart, and he gave me a new name. That's what God did for me, and that's what God can do for you. In fact, you think about, where did this chorus come from? Is it just kind of this cool little neat saying? It's actually not. In fact, it's actually from Scripture. Psalm chapter 40 says this. David shares his testimony, and he says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. Get this. And he turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit of despair and of the mud and the mire. And he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Look, guys, the songs that we sing, they're just not just like neat new things that we're just trying to come up with cool ways of doing worship. We're just taking scripture and singing it back to God. The scripture clearly shows what God can do when you say yes to him. And here's the truth this morning. Look, if you've never walked with God, you're actually walking away from God. But when Jesus shows up and you let him in, he can change everything. He can pick you up from the position, no matter how bad you think it is, and he can turn you around and give you a new life. That is the good news, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. And once you realize that you can't pay for your own sins, you can never be good enough to earn your way into heaven. When you submit to him, he will offer something we call salvation or forgiveness. He offers forgiveness to us. And the best part about that is not something that we earn. We can't earn it. But he freely gave it to every single one of us when we choose him. That's what he does. We didn't earn it, but he freely gave it. So here's the question for today. How can you say thank you back to him? How can we as a church say thanks to God for what he's done? Well, one of the ways we can do it is actually through music. There's other ways to thank God, but specifically today, we're talking about how do we thank God through music? Because music is a gift that God has given every single one of us. I mean, it moves us, doesn't it? It doesn't even matter if you're listening to worship music or another kind of music. It changes you no matter who you are, no matter what generation you live in, no matter what century you live in. Every single generation and every single culture looks at music and it moves us. It changes us. It motivates our minds. It influences our hearts. And if you think about it, all kinds of music can actually be worship music. All of it. So whatever we elevate, right? Whatever we make ultimate in our lives. But the truth this morning is God is the only one who is worthy of our worship, right? He's the only one worthy of our worship. But I'm not trying to knock other kinds of music. I mean, there's only 2 Christian radio stations on the presets out of 8 in my car, okay? Like, I like other kinds of music, and I hope that you do as well. Do you listen to other stuff too? But we should never let something elevate to the place that we're actually worshiping it instead of God. Like your love life should not be something you worship. Your money, your fame, your dog, your truck, okay? Having a good time. Those things should not be things that we elevate to a position of worship. God should be the only one that does that. And so how do we say thank you to God? We can sing our thank you back to him. That's what we can do. We can sing our thank you back to him. You might say, Clayton, I don't sing. That's just not what I do. You know, I mean, God just never blessed me with the ability to sing. I'm here. You're always glad I'm here. And I'm just going to stand there and I'm just here participating. Look, if you have the ability to sing physically, you ought to. If you physically can't sing, you can still sing in your heart. You can still sing with your hands. There's ways we can communicate back to God what he has done for us. And the reason a lot of us don't sing, we should be really honest today. The reason a lot of us don't sing is because we have a fear of being judged by the people around us, okay? The person who, the back of the head you're staring at right now. You're like, I don't want them to hear how terrible I am, okay? Let's just be honest. I don't want them to hear that. But here's the thing. This is not American Idol, guys, okay? It's not American Idol. Look, the thing that you try to protect in your life is your real idol. And it's pride. When we aren't willing to sing to God because of what we care about, what other people will think about us, we're not thinking about him, we're thinking about ourselves. We're trying to protect ourselves. But the beauty about singing to God is he doesn't care how talented you are or not talented. He loves your off-key singing, okay? He really does. It's beautiful to him. Which leads me to the second way we can say thank you to God. It's that we can sing to him as one. Not as separate individuals, but we can come together. That's what we do as a church. We come together and we sing to him as one. And let me just tell you the truth. You sound better together, trust me, okay? Like, I mean, when we're all by ourselves, sometimes it doesn't sound good. But when we sing together, it's encouraging for one another. Rylan he's kind of semi-famous. He's got this YouTube channel. 21,000 subscribers, okay, guys? I mean, he's got a lot. I don't know why they're clapping. Okay, but I don't know. Sorry, I wasn't trying to get a clap out of that. But Rylan has this YouTube channel where he helps worship leaders and people in media and in churches do great things for God's glory. It's pretty awesome. But he had a live stream on yesterday, and I was watching it. And he was kind of they were looking at people's, they were evaluating people's live streams and helping them out, making it sound better, look better, those kind of things. But he did worship fails. He said, "Hey, look, before we get started, let's do some worship fails." And one of the ones he brought up was hilarious. Look, we have audience mics on stage. You can't really even see them. They're kind of hidden over here. But they're pointing back at you, collecting your collective voice, okay? And that's the point. It should be a collective voice for online, so it doesn't look like the band's in here all themselves, that we are together as a church worshiping. But one of these churches, they accidentally put that mic like way too close to someone, and they stood up and they came like forward, like to the altar, and they were just praising the Lord, and they were like this close to the microphone. The people in the back were like scrambling, "Cut the feed! Cut the feed!" Like it sounded terrible, right? But it's a great example of like God has called us to worship together, and we sound better together. Psalm 95:1 says this: "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation." I love what that says, because it doesn't say for you to sing. It says, let us. Let us sing. Let us shout. Let us come before the Lord together. It's important that as a church that we worship God together. And here's what we get to sing. Here's what we get to celebrate, guys. If you look at the bridge of the song, here's how it kind of ends. It says this: "Hell lost another one," okay? "And I am free, I am free, oh, I am free." And we sing it over and over again because it's so powerful. That statement that hell has lost another one. When was the last time that you truly worshiped God because of the rescue in your life and what he's done for you? Look, if you've never been able to celebrate that because he has never rescued you, today could be the day of your salvation when you stop running and he's knocking and you say, "Look, I'm yours. Save me. Rescue me. Change me. I want to sing thank you for what you have done. I want to thank God in my life." Today can be the day of salvation if you will trust in the Lord instead of trusting in yourselves. And look, for most of you in this room, I get it. Maybe many of you watching online, you've already done that. But this is the time for every single one of us to sing with gratitude. We are here for a reason, together to worship God. That's what we should be about as a church. And so I want to do something to kind of end our service today. I am done with my message. I want us to take what God has taught us today and actually apply it right now to our lives. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet. And as you're standing to your feet, I want to pray over you a prayer asking God to show up in a powerful way. And we're going to actually sing this song one more time. As the band's coming up, we're going to sing this song. And I want to ask you to forget about what other people are thinking around you. Look, if we're all singing, we can't hear anybody, okay? We just sing together, and we hear each other, and we get to worship God for who he is. So let me pray over you right now. God, thank you so much for the love that you've given every single one of us, that we get to come before you. Whether we know you or not, we get to come before you right now and hear your word. Your word is powerful and your word is true. And you have taught us today, God, that we're not good enough, that we are bags of bones. We are dead in our sins, but Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And that's something to celebrate. That's something to clap about. That's something to raise our hands about. That's something to shout with everything we have. I am free. I am free. I am free. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for so many of us. Thank you for what you can do for those of us who today will choose to say yes to you for the first time. And so, God, I pray you'd help us to be able to worship you in spirit and truth right now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.